You're on 981-2NM. Earlier this year, our member for the Upper Hunter at the time, Michael Johnson, was embroiled in controversy, to say the very, very least. It cost him his seat and probably a number of other things. There has been a lot of changing information about that, and he's joining us in the show this morning to have a chat about it. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, Bear, and thank you for the invitation to come and have a chat.
That's all right, happy to do it. The charges that were laid against you have been completely removed. The DPP have said that they're not going to go ahead with that. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, there were no charges.
Right.
Right, so that's an important aspect.
Okay, so sorry, the investigation.
The investigation showed that there is insufficient admissible evidence.
Yep.
Basically, that's the polite way of saying there is no evidence, which I always said from day one.
Yes.
I always said that I was innocent. This was not a true fact, and I always said from day one that I would clear my name. And the process, rather, the
yep.
legal process, investigative process from the police would clear my name. I was always confident of that, and that's exactly what's happened.
How do you feel now that you've got to this point? Any number of innocent men in history have been accused of a number of different things. In this instance, you've been vindicated. What's your feelings at the moment?
Look, there's a sense of elation in terms of finally, the public are getting to know that what they heard is actually untrue.
Yep.
But the difficulty is that I've got to, rightly or wrongly, and try and do the best that I can to, in certain quarters, restore my reputation because, you know, these things, any bit of mud will stick.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's truthful or not. And it does leave a bit of a dirty taste in your mouth, I suppose. But at the same time, there is a process, and that process indeed should have been afforded to myself in the first instance, and we should not have had the whole thing politicised. The whole issue was nothing more than a political weapon used as a political weapon from the then opposition leader, Jodie McKay, and the member for Blue Mountains, Trish Doyle. Trish Doyle was the one that brought it up under the cowardly act of parliamentary privilege. And that should never have happened. Weaponising parliament and privilege for due process, to circumvent due process, is just not on, and something's got to happen as far as that's concerned.
In the case of the Labor Party, they put the ammunition in, but it was your own party, the Nationals, led by John Barilaro, who fired the bullet. You found yourself out of parliament as a result of everything that's gone on. How do you feel about the National Party moving forward?
Look, I'm fine with the National Party. I understand the politics of it, and I just want to clarify there that I did not have to resign.
Mm.
The reality is that I could have stayed there and brazened it out, but the practical reality of it is you don't need, and I said it at the time and I'll continue to say it because I firmly believe that this is the reason why I did it, and that is that you didn't need, or this issue didn't need to be on the front page and every headline for days and weeks and possibly months on end. It just simply undermines the good work of the government, and I didn't want to do that. I was happy to step aside so that the government could get on with the day because, you know, this is not about me. This is, you know, the issue of governing and the whole political process and so forth is much, much bigger than one person, and you're part of the process. You're not the process. Unfortunately, there are some politicians who believe they are the process, but, you know.
Ego comes with politics a little bit sometimes, doesn't it?
You've got to have an ego. You've got to have an ego to stand up to all the attacks that you get all the time. But, you know, the reality is you don't have to overplay.
Yep. Given your experience in the role as the member for the Upper Hunter, and we're looking at another election in the not-too-distant future, would you put your hand up to run as a candidate again for this region?
Certainly not in the near future. I don't. I said yesterday you know, you never say never, but at the same time, it is certainly not on my radar at this point in time. I just want to move on with life. I want to.
You're done with politics?
To a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree. There are some loose ends that need to be worked on, and I'll be continuing to push on that, such as the abuse of parliamentary privilege from Trish Doyle in particular and Jodie McKay. But and Parliament needs to reform that in some way.
Can you take action against Trish Doyle?
If she's denied privilege, yes, I can.
Yep.
And interestingly, people think that it's automatic. In New South Wales, it's the only jurisdiction in Australia that does not have specific privilege legislation. In fact, it's based on the Bill of Rights from 1688.
I see you've been doing some reading, I assume.
Well, I was on the Ethics and Privileges Committee. So, you know.
So if that's the case, why not engage a barrister now and go after Trish Doyle? She's wronged you and it's cost you a great deal, mate.
Look, you know, I want to hasten slowly, and I don't want to be bitter and twisted about this whole thing. It's easy to do so because it's had a very, very significant impact emotionally on not only myself but my partner and family and so forth, and emotionally in particular, and you know, reputationally and financially.
You've just outlined a lot of reasons there for why you would like to take retribution.
Yeah. But I want to do it from, I want to be somewhat righteous about it, in so much as I want action taken, but I want to do it from a position of peace and not anger.
So would an apology from Trish and maybe Jody Mackay be sufficient?
That will be the I would expect nothing less at the very least.
Yep.
An apology, public apology, to myself, my partner, my family, and in particular the people of New South Wales through the New South Wales Parliament, for the cowardly actions that in particular Trish Doyle took in bringing this up in Parliament and trying to circumvent the due legal process.
Have you spoken to Trish about this ever since she said what she said in Parliament?
Trish Doyle's never been one to speak to Michael Johnson.
Right. So they didn't speak to you before, and they haven't spoken to you about it after, especially after the investigation has been closed as recently as this week.
No, I suspect that could be, certainly not before, and when we look at after, in the events that's happened since the weekend, I would think there's a number of people who would be looking at themselves in the mirror trying to wipe off some of the egg.
What do you think about that? I mean, we always talk about Parliament is meant to be, certainly in Australia, Parliament's meant to be the best and the brightest, and that's where our leaders actually are. And the fact that we make a mistake, everybody makes mistakes from time to time, and I'm certainly not suggesting that this is just a mere error. This is obviously a grievous error that's come your way. But wouldn't you feel or take some pride in the fact that even on the other side of the aisle that they could come across and say, listen, we made a terrible mistake and we would like you to accept our apology under this occasion?
Sure, but you know, let me tell you that the number of Labor Party members of Parliament who have reached out to me since all this began, and including up until a couple of days ago, they are very angry that this was even done in the first place. And the level of support, emotional support that I've been getting from the Labor Party members has been very, very good.
Would you be inclined to join the ALP if that's the case?
No, certainly not.
That only goes so far, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
All right, Michael, I do need to wrap it up. I just want to ask, moving forward, what are your plans in the next 5 or so years? Where are you planning on being in once you put all of this behind you?
Look, I've got a consultancy business utilising my expertise and experience, and I'm hoping to make something of that over a period of time. Importantly, excitingly, actually, I've actually enrolled in university.
Congratulations.
Doing a graduate certificate in communications, of all things, and the first unit just happens to be law, media and communications.
Aha! I was wondering where the research had come from. All right, Michael Johnson, again, thank you very much for coming in and being very frank with your answers. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Bear.